Good morning. We're really thankful to be with you this morning. Just like to start by reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just ask for God's help. Oh God, we ask your help for this morning, and we pray our hearts would be changed. We pray we would make you look good today. And thank you for the family of God here. And I just pray you bless. And Father, I pray for help and be able to share what you'd have me to share in the time allotted. And so we ask for this in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we're thankful for the gospel. We're thankful that Christ came into the world to save sinners. And thank you for your support of the work at Morningstar Bible Camp and for your support for us personally. Some of you may think that you haven't received maybe enough thank you letters from me, and I'm very bad at that, but I knew that was coming down, so I want to just thank you personally for your support of your financial gifts to us through MSC. We received that. We're thankful for that. Thank you for your generosity, and we praise God for your involvement at the work at Morningstar Bible Camp. What I'd like to do is, thank you, thanks bro, is share from Ezra 7. So if you want to take your Bibles and to Ezra 7, Ezra 7, what I want to do is go through Ezra 7 in a devotional style kind of way and relating of the work of God, of what happened in Ezra's day to the work of God at Morningstar Bible Camp. And we'll read in Romans 15, verse 4, it says, whatsoever things were written before, speaking of the Old Testament, those things, it says, were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the work of God in Ezra's day is very encouraging to us. For Ezra, the work of Ezra and Nehemiah is very encouraging. Many works of God have been encouraged by that, the work of God that happened in the Old Testament. So I'd like to read Ezra 7. And then after this, then we're going to share a camp presentation of what's been happening at Morningstar for the coming year. Now it says, now after these things, in the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia, Ezra, the son of Sariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Hilkiah, the son of Shalem, son of Zadok, son of Ahitub, the son of Amariah, the son of Azariah, the son of Merioth, son of Zerahiah, son of Uzai, son of Buki, son of Busha, son of Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the chief priest. This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given. The king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. Some of the children of Israel, the priests, the Levites, the singers, the gatekeepers, and the Nephilim, came up to Jerusalem in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes. And Ezra came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was on the seventh year of the king. On the first day of the first month, he began his journey from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month, he came to Jerusalem, according to the good hand of his God upon him. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. This is a copy of the letter that the king of Artaxerxes gave Ezra the priest, the scribe, expert in the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, to Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of heaven, the law of the God of heaven, perfect peace and so forth. I issue a decree that all those people in Israel and the priests and the Levites in my realm who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And whereas you are being sent by the king and his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. And whereas you are to carry the silver and gold, which the king and his counselors have freely offered to the God of Israel, whose dwelling is in Jerusalem. Whereas all the silver and the gold that you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offering of the people and the priests, are to be freely offered for the house of their God in Jerusalem. Now, therefore, be careful to buy with this money bulls and rams and lambs with their grain offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them on the altar of the house of your God in Jerusalem. And whatever seems good to you and to your brethren to do with the rest of the silver and gold, do it according to the will of your God. Also, the articles that are given to you for the service of the house of your God, deliver in full before the God of Jerusalem. And whatever more may be needed for the house of your God, which you may have occasion to provide, pay for it out of the king's treasury. And I, even Artaxerxes, the king, issue a decree that all the treasurers who are in the region beyond the river, that whatever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, may require of you, let it be done diligently, up to 100 talents of silver, 100 cores of wheat, 100 baths of wine, 100 baths of oil, and salt without prescribed limit. Whatever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? We inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax, tribute, or custom of any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinim, or servants of this house of God. And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, as all such as know the laws of your God, and to teach those who do not know them. Whoever will not observe the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily on him, whether it be by death or banishment, confiscation of goods or imprisonment. Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, who has put such a thing into the king's heart to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem, and to extend his mercy to me before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. So I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord God was upon me, and I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. Now, as you're probably wondering, how am I going to be able in 45 minutes or be able to share with you all that's in there, plus the camp presentation? I have no idea how that's going to happen, and I'm excited to find out. So come with me on this journey. By no means do I want to put myself on the same level as Ezra, but in so many ways, in Ezra and Nehemiah, I put myself into his shoes, and I am going to compare the work of what God did in Ezra's life to the work of God at Morningstar Bible Camp, because one thing with Ezra that I can relate to is that the hand of the Lord was upon him. And so we're gonna go on this journey in Ezra, and I suggest to you, or I believe that when Ezra came back to Jerusalem, that was the second wave of people coming back. About 5,000 people went back with Ezra, but before that, there was a first wave of people, and that was with Zerubbabel and Joshua, and they built that foundation. They rebuilt that temple, and they overcome lots of opposition with that. I'll just read with you, just for introduction. There's a Revive Us Again by Warren Henderson. This is a great book. Warren Henderson's coming to the May conference at Morningstar Bible Camp, and we look forward to see you there. So this one is his devotion in Ezra. It says that, by God's help, this was when, under Zerubbabel's leadership, a great post-exile revival had occurred among God's people, the first Jewish awakening, per se. By God's help, they had overcome immense opposition to erect his temple in Jerusalem. However, during the interim between Ezra 6 and 7, the Jews had become secular in thinking and worldly in practice. This can happen to God's people in any era when their love for the Lord wanes. So Zerubbabel, he led the physical revival of the land, and there was a building of the temple. The Jews were no longer a consecrated people, and they needed to be bluntly told so. This would be Ezra's calling as a teacher. He would use God's word to confront, instruct, and encourage his fellow countrymen. Whereas Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, Ezra would strive to spiritually rebuild the people. The Jews had lost their way, and Ezra would reacquaint them with Jehovah and his law. This ministry would be the second Jewish awakening. So, the first wave of God's working was a physical work. The temple was reestablished and was rebuilt. In the second wave, Ezra would be sent by God to spiritually rebuild the people and so that the temple would function according to the law of God. And then the third wave of people coming back was with Nehemiah and the wall being built. Now, at Morningstar Bible Camp, this is the 62nd year of its running. And at that camp, it's not the first wave of God's working. There's been at least one wave, perhaps many waves of revival there of God's working. And when I come there, 62 years into it, more or less the physical property at camp is established. There's buildings, there's accommodation. And forgive me for not giving enough credit to the original people that founded the camp and had a vision for children's work in West Bank, like the Campbells and the Lynns, and their vision for God was very admirable in their sacrifice, and a great work was done there to establish the camp. I was coming in when my first introduction to camp was when Ron Pazurski, you know, he had a great impact at that camp in establishing the physical. He brought those buildings there, the chalets, the lodges. And when I walk around camp, I often think of that verse in the Gospel of John. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. So many years of sacrifice and labor in that camp, and I'm just entering in to that labor. And it says, some sow and some reap. And we're right now reaping the benefit of those the people that have gone on before. And hopefully we're also sowing for the future, for the people that are going to come after us, so they could reap the work that we're putting in. So I'm just suggesting that we're focusing now on a strong spiritual direction for the camp. Like Ezra, he needed to establish the temple spiritually and God's people, encourage them. The physical aspect of camp is more or less taken care of. There's a few loose ends, but by God's grace and help, to spiritually make sure the camp is functioning according to the word of God, make sure the camp has a solid gospel being preached, and the Christians are being encouraged and spiritually encouraged, that at the camp would be a high level of a high standard of spiritual encouragement. So Ezra was sent to teach and make sure things were done to God's command. And so in verses 1 to 5, we read of Ezra's godly heritage. And the one name that pops out is Phinehas, who was great, 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 I don't know how many greats, but great grandpa of Ezra. And remember that Phinehas, he took sin very seriously. And how that Phinehas, when there was fornication in the camp, he took a spear and shish kebabbed and killed it. He judged it. And so we need this character of God concerning sin in our lives as we serve up at camp, that sin would not be tolerated and judged, and the restoration and repentance, yes, and God is a restoring God, and I'm an example of the mercy and grace of God's restoring power, but that sin must be judged. And just a little lesson from verses 1 to 5 there, and as we go down to verses 6a, it says, Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and that he did what God asked him to do. He came up from Babylon, and he followed God's leading, and that God had given his word. And then we need not to take God's word lightly. God has given us his word, and so often we replace it with other things. And so may we have an attitude of confessing those things that we're turning away from, those things that are replacing God's word in our lives, and not take his word for granted. Because it says the God of Israel has given him his word, and God has given us his word. Verses 6, the second half of verse 6, it says, according to the hand of his God upon him. And the king granted all his request according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And that's my experience at camp. Not only is that divine favor of the hand of God, and I am 100% convinced in my life that this is a work that God prepared for me before the foundation of the world. And that is a work that God wants you to do. You are his workmanship. You are his poem. And God has a work for you. And that divine favor of the hand of God. And do you feel that the hand of the Lord is upon you throughout your day as you're going into 2018? Do you have that in your life, that blessing of God's hand upon you to lead you throughout this year? I'm sorry if you don't. I strongly feel that. Maybe there's some days where I'm having a bad day and that's normal, but God's hand is upon me. This says the king granted him all his requests, and there's just blessing after blessing, and that's why I experience at camp. Whatever, according to the mind of God, my requests are being granted by the grace of God. I don't really understand that. I was praying for study Bibles to pass out to children, and wasn't too long before we had boxes and boxes of study Bibles come in so we could bless children with study Bibles. And it seems like just God's hand. If you don't have God's favor upon you, if you don't feel that, it's available to you. And I would submit to you, you just have to receive it. And sometimes it's a hard thing to receive gifts. But it's like salvation. You can't do anything for it. You can't earn your salvation. You have to just receive it and say thanks God for it. So we read that it took him 4 months to get from Babylon to Jerusalem. That was a big journey. And we further read that about his trip in the next chapter. And he trusted God. And I implore you to trust God. Whatever kind of decision you need to make, whatever is in your life, you can trust God for it. God will not let you down. If you go out on a limb for God, for his name's sake, he will not disappoint you. And that was Ezra's experience. It said in chapter 8, verse 21, he said, he proclaimed a fast at the river of Ahava that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek for him the right way for us and for our little ones and all our possessions. It was a real humbling, a real seeking after God and his word and his will. And see what it says, I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road. That would have been easily given to the king, would have easily given Ezra an escort. But Ezra didn't want to ask for that. He was ashamed because Ezra said, no doubt it was a very dangerous journey. And for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road. Because we had spoken to the king, the hand of our God is upon all those for good who seek him, but his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and he answered our prayer. So Ezra really went out on a limb and trusted God, and God came through. And he always will. So as mentioned, I'm trusting God to speedily go through this. We can trust God. Verse 10, he prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. So may we be like Ezra 7:10 people, to seek the law of the Lord, to seek God's word. And not only that, but to do it. No matter how ridiculous it might seem to others, to do God's word. And I just think of the example at camp of cabin leaders. You know, there's a pressure during camp time for cabin leaders to all hang out together and to be that person who stands up and spiritually lead and say, you know what, we can hang out later. Right now is our time to bless the children. To stand up for God at that point instead of succumbing to peer pressure and kind of clump all together, but to spiritually lead, no matter, even if it's going against whatever anyone else is doing, do what God wants you to do, no matter what other people may think. So he learned about God's word. He sought to do it and to teach. And that's the greatest teacher, isn't it? To physically doing it. So that's why I encourage, I'm doing it, this is myself, the Emmaus Correspondence Diploma program. It's taken me forever, to my shame, to go through this. You can do it at your own pace. So I encourage everybody at camp to go through the diploma program to learn about God's word. And then you'll be able to get a diploma for it at the end. So just want to mention that. That's available. Then we read, this is exciting. This is actual historical document. The letter of the king to Ezra for his trip. And in verse 11 and on, in that the verse 1, we read that Ezra submitted to his authority and at camp. I have an authority at camp. First of all, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I make it my aim to strive to please him. He is ultimately my authority. But the board is my authority as well. And there are six owner assemblies, of which you, Parkrest, is one, part owner of the camp. You send two representatives to the board, and I answer to the collective board. And so I submit to the board. And as a result, submitting to you, because that's the line of authority there. The board needs to be replaced every 5 years. So I encourage you to pray about who your next board members will be for Morningstar Bible Camp. Just want to encourage you in that. It's not just anybody, but someone spiritually, people that are spiritually minded, and who's going to represent Parkrest for Morningstar Bible Camp next. And then in verse 12 and 13, we read that verse 13, who volunteer to go up to Jerusalem may go with you. And that's just an encouragement that anyone that's willing, unless you have a criminal record or there's some big reason that you're disqualified for children's ministry or church Christian ministry, anyone that wants to volunteer at Morningstar Bible Camp can. There's so many different types of jobs. There's jobs in the background. There's jobs in the foreground. There's jobs anywhere in between. So anyone that wants to volunteer, I want to make that possible to come and help out at camp in any way and serve the Lord there. Verses 14, we read about a spiritual responsibility. And it says that he was to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem with regard to the law of your God, which is in your hand. And there's a spiritual responsibility to make sure that the gospel is being preached, that the camp is being run according to the Bible. It's following New Testament church principles as far as we're able. And that it's as sin-free as long as it depends on the management. That's a spiritual responsibility for the leadership at camp. That it's a holy place of people walking with God, that it's a place of spiritual encouragement. And in verse 15, the first is spiritual, and the second is financial responsibility. And we read about all that silver and gold. And that talks about our worship and how that in the Old Testament, God wanted to be worshipped in a certain way with sacrifices. And our worship is our giving ourselves to him now in the New Testament and according to Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. And verses 15 and speaks about the cost. Sharing the gospel costs. Investing in people costs. not just money, but includes that, but your time. It costs a lot to share the gospel and invest in people for spiritual growth. When the Kelowna Bible Chapel invested in my life, spiritually, Ron Pazurski, originally, he sacrificed his time. He came down from Grizzly Lake Fly Fishing Camp, picked me up, dropped me off. That was a sacrifice for him. He left whatever he was doing, invested in me to take me up to the camp. And as a result, my life was changed. God spoke to me at the camp. How many of you were saved at camp or had God speak to them at a Bible camp? Okay, well, you need to get to more Bible camps. Okay, in Kelowna and West Bank, most everyone put their hand up. At camp, God speaks. The ground gets soft. The heart of people gets soft at camp. It costs. Kelowna Bible Chapel, and you were involved in this too, the Cross Canada Cruisers. They invested financially into my life. They provided, they looked after everything. So they invested. And, you know, by God's grace, maybe eventually that investment might pay off for them. But that's up. Moving on. Verse 16. All the silver and the gold which you may find in all the province of Babylon, along with the freewill offerings of the people and the priests, are to be freely offered. This is encouraging. All the things that are God's are available to us for God's work. So that's very encouraging. In the work of God, everything that's God's is available. So we'll lack nothing. And we do lack nothing. Verse 17 speaks about diligence, is be careful to buy with this money, so not to waste, to be resourceful, to give God what's first and then the things that God wants. And we hope and trust that we have the mind of Christ, that we can seek God's will and do the things that God wants. The verses 18 to 23 speaks of freedom. It says, do whatever seems good to you, and whatever seems good, freedom to do whatever seems good with the rest. And so we're thankful for the support at camp, that we've had the freedom to just do whatever we think that seems good. And we've reaped the result, and it's been a blessing. We trust that we're doing God's will. Verse 23 speaks of hindering God's work. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it diligently be done for the house of the God of heaven. Why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? And so what is God's work today? God's work today is to build up his church. He will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And God's work is working in you and through you. And the work at Morning Star Bible Camp is an extension of your work here. You do a tremendous amount of evangelism through your work at Anvil, and I encourage you to keep at that, and through your work at Morningstar. So you're involved at two Bible camps? That's amazing. Praise God for that. And then so let no one criticize you that you're not doing evangelism, because your support of camp is tremendous, and the gospel is being reached to children, teens, and adults through both camps. We praise the Lord for that. I just want to encourage you in that you're doing evangelism in a mighty way. And I pray that you're reaping the result of the discipleship that happens at camp and the people that get saved. We want to see more of it. And I just want to encourage you that to focus maybe in more at that work. So let's do camp ministry as best as we can. Let's really succeed at it. Let's get really good at it. And let God bless as we give. And King Artaxerxes, he erred on the side of generosity. He erred on the side of letting everything that God wanted for his work to be taken care of. He says, lest there should be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons. And verse 24 speaks of privilege and blessing to be involved in God's work. It said, we inform you that it shall not be lawful to impose tax or tribute on any of the priests, Levites, singers, gatekeepers, Nethinim, or servants of the house of God. And that was a big sacrifice for the Levites to go back, because they were actually probably leaving a home in Babylon, some comfort, to go back to not have a home. Many of the other Jews that went back, they actually went back to an inheritance. But the people that went to serve God, they didn't have the home. They didn't have that inheritance. Their inheritance was the Lord their God, which they didn't have that physical inheritance. So it was a big sacrifice for them. They had to really trust in God. And in chapter 8, we read about some of the difficulty. Not many of the Levites did. And he had to stop and be like, well, we need more Levites. They're the ones that are supposed to serve God. And he had to recruit more, implore more to come. So there's privilege and blessing to be involved at the work at camp. And we really didn't consider too much. Before God, I lie not. We didn't really consider too much of the blessing it would be to us as a family to be involved in the camp. We saw the camp as a great potential for the gospel. We saw the need in the assemblies, how the, say, Penticton was closing, Vernon is struggling. The assemblies on were struggling a lot more than the assemblies on the East Coast. So that we saw the need there of discipleship. We saw opportunity in the gospel. We were very excited. So we come to camp. We came to give. We came to serve and to bless. But as a result, we receive so much more. And it almost took me by surprise on how God has blessed. It did take me by surprise. So we need to give to get is a lesson too. And that's a lesson of the Dead Sea, isn't it? The Dead Sea is dead. There's no life in there because it doesn't give. So in order to get, to receive, we need to give. And then one day the Dead Sea will give, won't it? It is going to flow out. And then life will be restored abundantly to the sea. And finishing up here, verse 25 speaks about administration and how may God give me wisdom there to, it says, to appoint judges. And right now at camp, I'm trying to figure out, there's so many people at camp to appoint roles so there's order and not confusion. And so may God give wisdom in that. And verse 25 speaks of discipleship, to be imitators of the godly. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ, Paul would say. And holiness in verse 26. There's a seriousness about our walk in obedience. And so in verses 27 and 28 speaks, just praise God that it's been put in people's hearts to beautify the house of God in Jerusalem. And so I relate that to Morning Star, that it, praise be to God that it's been put in people's hearts to really invest in that work and to extend mercy before me. So I was encouraged as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I gathered leading men of Israel to go up with me. Oh, let's get to work. This is my final exhortation. Let's do this. Let's do camp well. Praise God for your support at camps. I just want to encourage you in that. So as we speedily, if we can go to the presentation. I'm not going to be able to see it unless I turn around, right? Okay. And is there a clicker? What's that? Okay. Okay. Right on. So this is holding forth the word of life is the motto, and presentation overview. This is kind of where we're going. With this, is it kind of gives you a general overview, so I don't lose you on the way. This is our map, the camp, the purpose of camp, and how we can live it out. Yeah, that's great. Thank you. 2017 overview. We're going to briefly go through that. We're going to look at the upcoming season and its needs and how you can help. The discipleship training program, which is something that's very exciting and profitable. And prayer and support, we're going to look at 2018 projects, which everyone is always interested in, and the staff that's up there. The majority of people saved in North America are saved at camps. The majority of people saved and go on long-term in the work of God are saved at camps. That's why we do what we do. That's why we love camp. It's effective. Mission statement is this: in a Christ-centered, wholesome, safe, and fun-filled Christian camping environment, we will present the gospel of Jesus Christ to children, teens, and adults. We will encourage Christian growth through Bible teaching, personal example, and service. Living out the purpose is to serve as an extension of the supporting church. It's just an extension of the work that you're doing here. To share the gospel with others, and whatever else it said there. Encourage the development of spiritual gifts and help the local church fulfill the Great Commission. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The gospel shared through Morning Star really softens people's hearts. Or at daybreak. Just the gospel, when you have that good work as a backup to share the gospel, it really is effective. 2017, we had a 57 increase in campers from 2016, 452, and then 2017, 710, mainly because of the 3-day camps that were added, the winter camp, spring camp, and third day camp in the summer. And in 2017, we're excited to welcome Cody and Kendra Lees. Kendra is John Stutter's granddaughter, so he's just really excited about that. And so they have 2 children. We're excited about that because Cody's mindset especially is to make the camp really fun, that make the fun-filled aspect of it so that more children would come and it would be a place that they could hear the gospel. So in 2017 projects, right now there's a skating rink where I'm looking forward to the next cold snap where we can freeze a couple more layers of ice and make it smooth again. So far we've had 2 fantastic weeks of skating. Dozens of neighborhood kids have been out, and it's just, we bless the neighborhood by having this. And it's great. We're building relationships with the neighbors. 7 roofs were reshingled. Chapel renovation we did, and you can keep going there. We worked on the upper field drainage, so hopefully it's no longer swampy in the upper field. The Quonset has been moved to a better location. The storage area has been reorganized. We've had just a tremendous amount of work. The house that I live in used to be called the caretaker's house, the manager's house. Now, that was completely renovated, and it's just a really nice place to live. Now, and father-in-law, Grant, he worked at that renovation for over a year. And you're wondering, why did it take him so long? Well, he had a little apprentice there. He was kind of trying to show him the ropes. And so this is like the kitchen, before picture of the kitchen, and this is after. So men, I encourage you, get your wives a double oven. Seriously, it'll change your life. We do a lot of hospitality. The kitchen is just, it's a really nice place to live. And we praise God for my father-in-law, and we're able to. In 2018... we're going to talk about camps and special events. The main things at camp is our day camps is really popular. And even we have the bus, so we take children from the other side of the bridge. Because if it's for a day camp, it's a long drive to go to Glen Rosa every day, morning and night, from Kelowna to the camp. So we're able to freely offer the bus. And so I'm Kelowna Bible Chapel, hopefully taking advantage of this and trying to reach out in that area. We can reach out that whole side of the bridge because of the bus with the day camps. And we have 5 day camps during the summer. So we just finished up the winter camp. And then upcoming spring camp. And then there's 3 summer camps. So winter camp was really, really, really well praise the Lord for that. There was over 30 children that came, and I was praying for 60. So to me, that could be a bit disappointing. I really thought we could get 60, but it was a real blessing to have just 30. Sometimes the Lord knew with all the staff that we had just enough staff for 30, and it just worked out really well. So we praise God for that. So there's the day camps. Speaking of the day camps, there's a need for directors for two of those day camps. And the overnight camps, there's the boys camp, which I'm not 100% confirmed that there's a director for that yet. The girls camp, the teens camp. Thank you, Mark, for your many years of service at the teens camp. And I praise God that Shannon and Derek have decided to continue that on, and that it's going to stay in the Parkcrest family. And so, if anything, please support them and their work up at teens camp. So excited that they're staying in the Parkcrest family, the teens camp. So thank you. And the adult camp, again, same time of year, Gary Henderson's coming back for the adult camp. So we're looking forward to that. Family camps are really popular. They're packed. We struggle to find accommodation for all the families. We're working at that. The first family camp, I have yet to confirm a director for. And the second family camp, Pat and Guido are continuing that on as well. So those are the dates for that. I brought brochures, and the posters are going to be in the back. Bulo Lake camps. This is a property owned by Morningstar at Bulo Lake that is amazing, underutilized. And we just pray that it'll be utilized more and more. So there's the encounter camp for boys and then the girls camp. The boys outdoor adventure camp is going to be different in that there's a new director. It's going to be shorter. They're changing things. It's going to actually be a joint effort between Maple Springs Bible Camp and Morningstar for the outdoor adventure. Because there was such low numbers last year, we had to cancel that camp. So we're doing something completely different. And the ages for the boys' outdoor adventure camp is going to be from 10 to 15. And just from the Wednesday to Saturday. Alex Anjar, she has blessed the camp amazingly. And our family. So these are a few pictures of Bulo Lake. It's hardly roughing it. Really nice. Okay. Special events. Ladies, you want to come up here for this weekend. Fabienne Anjar is going to be cooking again to real bless the ladies. Like five-star cooking. And with Nadia McHale, godly woman. I don't know if you know her, but ladies, if you need to try and make it up. All the events are by donation. Or April 20th to 22nd. It's on the brochure. There's the May conference, one of the biggest events of the year. Warren Henderson, as I mentioned, and Digging Deeper for Men. Men, I'm giving you enough notice in January. Book this week off. Like Randy Amos, Harold Summers, and Mike Atwood are coming back for that week in September. It's just really well worth it. I'm going to breeze through these pictures, some of the new activities that were added. Looking forward to thankful for the horse program. It is such a sacrifice that these families that own horses, they make a sacrifice on giving what they have for the Lord. So they bring their horses for 3 or 4 weeks out of the year, or for days, horse day. It's a real sacrifice, and it's just a good example of using what they have for the Lord. And also the boating day. I'm looking forward to adding another boat this year, so there will be two boats going, so pray for all that. The discipleship training program provides work experience for young people and equips them with solid Bible teaching, provides opportunity for practicing servanthood, train in New Testament church principles, and train in evangelism. And just past year, we're thankful to have Daniel Priscilla Webster leading that program spiritually for us. And this summer, I'm looking for 6 to 8 young people that are 14 to 18 years old and 2 leaders, male and female, to look after and supervise and lead them. The job description is to maintain health and safety standards, to train in leadership, do maintenance tasks, janitorial and dish duties, and lend a hand when needed. And also, my wife added this, get me a coffee when I look like this. Basically, I'm looking to like clone myself to help the camp run really well. And so you can really help this by supporting a young person that wants to come for the summer. And the couple of the needs that I have are lifeguarding and pool maintenance. Greg McAllister is looking forward to kind of relieve himself of the day-to-day. And so I have in mind Caleb Aiken to look after, like to be like a main lifeguard, the main man, and also clean the pool every day, do the chemicals. And so if I can nail Caleb down, but actually Caleb needs support from his local church to come because he's at the age where he can start working and make the big bucks. And so it's a big sacrifice to him for to come for the summer. And he'll benefit spiritually by it, but it's nice to be able to. So we pray that Kelowna will be able to help him out spiritually, financially throughout the summer, be able to compensate him a little bit for his time there. And also, I would like someone in the discipleship training program to be a videographer for the summer. That would just bless me, bless the camp tremendously. So if there's a young person really interested in videography, it'd be really super to have that. The ways you can help is volunteer, get involved, to help cover sponsorship costs. We never let finances come in the way of children coming to camp. If they can't afford it, the conversation usually goes, well, can you afford? Do they just pay whatever they can? And whatever, we were $7,000 short. We paid $7,000 last year for children to come to camp. And I don't know where exactly we're at now. I'm probably still a few $1,000 short for sponsoring children. That just comes out of the general fund if we can't cover it. Support a DPT volunteer. What else we got here? Lend a hand on a project. And the playground update. This is something that's just on the wish list. I'd like to really update that playground so children can play by themselves safely, unsupervised. A lot of the programs are supervised, so it'd be nice for them to have an area like this. We'd like to use this area for a new playground. And we're talking right now, we're talking about a safe homemade playground. I don't know how it's all going to pan out, but that's a need for a place where children can play unsupervised and have a great time. Outreach opportunities for this year are the current skating rink. The door-to-door survey is the second week of spring break. I'm hoping to outreach to get a team of people to go door-to-door and do a survey and ask them questions about the camp and how camp can bless them. If they know about the camp, if they know about the day camps, and so hoping to do that. And then there's parades and booths, a lot of different events in Kelowna. Thank you for praying for the camp. We talked about the improvement of camp activities to try and make the camp really fun. Right now we're working at the upper bunkhouses because there is a need for the family camps and to improve those upper bunkhouses for the children's camps as well. So right now we've started that renovation to Simeon. That has begun. The bunks are all stripped out of there. We're painting the boards in the dining hall. Hopefully, well, maybe not today, but when I go back home, hopefully all the painting's done. And then we'll not speak about any more about that for now. We're looking at the RV site up by the chalet area for more accommodation. The kitchen renovation is in the back burner. Still, we're talking about it. Upper washrooms is kind of down. Should even take that off the slide. It's not even really, it's way back there. Okay. The full-time staff on site, there's a lot of people right now. Not everyone at the camp is staff. There are people living at camp right now that I need help, and we'd like to help them. And most of the time, they're coming to give. They want to give more than they get, and they're really concerned about making sure that they bless the camp more. Sometimes, you know, we're not to judge people's motives for doing what they do. And so we don't judge that. Sometimes people just need help and we need to give. Especially we're hoping that we give to the non-Christians, that we're giving. And then we get to the point, hopefully, when Christians become givers. But we're all not at the same. So right now there's 24 people, including children, that live at camp. That may surprise you, but there's a family of five there, and they're contributing. So if we can go back a little bit, Fraser, sorry. I guess it'd be nicer to have that clicker, but you got a little preview of what's to come. Okay, we go back to Andy. We're thankful to have Andy. He's the main maintenance, general maintenance. Anything that kind of breaks down, I call him, and he does it. Greg and Sandy McAllister, they're not at camp right now. They're in Texas. We're really thankful for their service at camp. He does groundskeeping, and she labors in the kitchen. They have such servants' hearts, really hard workers. Grant Shelley Canfield are my in-laws, and really I can honestly say I have no one like-minded who will naturally care for the things that are concerning me and the things of the Lord that I'm concerned about. And such servants of the Lord, and just praise God for them. Grant's taking on more of a project leading job at camp, and we're just kind of massaging that into, well, it's not official, but that's what he's doing. He's leading projects. And Cody and Kendra, Danny and Sadie, activities, coordinating and development, and my beautiful wife and children to oversee operations, camp promotion, and make slideshows. Just thank you for praying for us. And the next slide is the life verse, my life verse. And the reason why I'm at camp is to just try and seek to, at this point in my life, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Our God and Father, I thank you for this little assembly here at Parkcrest Bible Chapel. And I just pray you bless each one. I pray that the Spirit of God would take something that that you spoke to them about today and really be able to apply it to their lives, that we would become doers of the word and not just hearers. We thank you for Daybreak Point Bible Camp. We're thankful for Morning Star Bible Camp. We thank you for all the Bible camps that are trying to stay true to your word and preach the gospel for your namesake and for your glory. And we just pray we'd be found faithful doing your work. And Lord, you take care of our physical needs. We have a great lunch downstairs, and you never sent anyone away hungry, and physically hungry or spiritually hungry. And I just thank you for the physical food that you provided, and I pray you'd bless it to our body's use for your name's sake. Thank you so much.